in everyday life. To observe precepts and in our practice to continue our zazen. Looks like different, but actually it is same. In actual zazen, whether even though your practice is not perfect, if you practice our way, there is enlightenment. Because originally, you know, our practice is expression of our true Buddha mind. Because of your discrimination, you say your practice is not good, but if we do not, you know, if we do not discriminate our practice, that is really the expression of that our true nature, which is Buddha nature. And in our everyday life, if we observe precepts, even for a moment, with this, with our mind, with our mind, which is changing always, then the momentous change, on the momentous changing mind, there, you know, moon of the Buddha mind will appear, body mind will be there. So actually there is no difference. So the point is, moment after moment, we satisfy our practice, and without without criticizing your mind too much, to do something which is good, it's only way for us. And if when you understand way-seeking mind or Buddha mind or body mind in this way, actually everything is encouraging us to have a Buddha mind or Bodhisattva mind, which is to help others before we help ourselves. When you know, try to help others, everything you have will give you a chance to help others. So whatever it is, the things you see, things you hear, will give you chance to help others. So that mind to help others will give you a big opportunity to read everything Buddha's gift. And when you say, before we save ourselves, we will get, we will be free from selfish idea. When you give up selfish idea, there is chance to have Buddha mind. So world is, if you say, before we save ourselves, to save others, looks like dualistic, but our understanding of bodhisattva mind is not dualistic. It is, extended. The understanding of oneness of giving something, someone who give and someone who receive. This is the characteristic of our way. Practice and enlightenment is one, Someone who save and who is saved is one. So there is no problem in observing this our way. So precept is also very clear. There is no precept to observe, or no one who is observing precepts. No problem at all. Precepts, if you say precepts, you are precept itself. And if you say you have you are already precept, and there's no precepts or no one who observe precepts. In this way, we have to observe our precepts, and we have to arise the bodhisattva mind, and we have to practice our way. It is not, Dogen Zen says, it is not because of your power of practicing Zazen, or power of, bodhisattva mind, that you attain enlightenment, that you become Buddha. It is not power of practice, or it is not, power of arising bodhisattva mind that you become Buddha. And he says, even though you attain enlightenment, you have to practice zazen. Even though you become Buddha, you have to extend bodhisattva mind. Even though you become Buddha, you have to observe precepts. That is actually, why he said, before you save yourself, you should save others. So, this idea is beyond the idea of attainment to be Buddha or to observe precepts. Usually, you think, why you practice zazen is to attain enlightenment. Why you arise bodhisattva mind is by power of bodhisattva mind, you will be a Buddha. By observing precepts, you can practice zazen and you will become a Buddha. You will understand in that way. But Dogen Zen says, it is not because of the observing, because of arising bodhisattva mind, that you become Buddha. And even though you arise bodhisattva mind, you should try to, you should continue the bodhisattva way before you save yourself. You should save others. Even though you attain enlightenment, you should continue. Do you understand? You should continue. After, even though you have attained enlightenment, you should continue. So bodhisattva mind is not the way to attain Buddhahood. Just bodhisattva mind is mind which should be continued forever, whether you attain enlightenment or not, whether you are a Buddha or not. Anyway, bodhisattva mind is a mind which Buddha and someone who is not yet Buddha should continue. So you may say bodhisattva, you may think bodhisattva, Buddha is highest and bodhisattva is next, and Pratyeka and Sravaka says, will follow. But when we understand bodhisattva way in that way, when we understand our practice in that way, which is important, for us? Enlightenment or practice? Which is important? Which is, you know, better? Bodhisattva or Buddha? Very difficult to say. In one way, maybe Bodhisattva is you Buddha, if you become Buddha. If that is the end of the practice, or end of everything, you know. So after you have become Buddha, what you will do? Then that Buddha will not exist forever. And if there is somewhere to go, maybe you have to start again from. Bodhisattva way is the way which we should continue anyway. So we say, before you save yourself, you know, you should try to save others. The meaning is very deep. And the meaning, you know, will provide a very easy approach. But very easy, but it is so lofty idea. There's no end, you know, in Bodhisattva way. So we transmit, you know, Bodhisattva precepts to you. We do not say, Buddha precepts. We say Bodhisattva precepts. I don't want to discriminate, you know, Theravada way or Mahayana way, so called it Mahayana way. But through spirit of Buddha, it's actually in Mahayana way. And by Mahayana practice, Buddhism could survive so long time. So for a vow, we decide every day is very important. And the precepts we transmit from Buddha to us, transmitted from Buddha to us, is very important. And to express the meaning of Buddha through meaning of Buddha's precepts, we call it, you know, Bodhisattva precepts, instead of calling Buddha precepts. We can say Buddha precepts, but if we say to make this point clear, non-duality of idea of non-duality and idea of true duality, we use Bodhisattva precepts. Even though we say bodhisattva way, we do not discriminate bodhisattva way or hinayana way. But if we call our precept bodhisattva, you know, then you will have much clearer understanding of precepts, and you will find out easier to observe, and you will find the deeper meaning of observing precepts. So for us, even though we have, you know, we are the son, all of us is a descendant of Buddha, son of Buddha, but we call, you know, all successive patriarchs bodhisattva. You know, Buddha is bodhisattva. And for us, you know, we understand it that Bodhidharma is bodhisattva. And Eka is bodhisattva. Dogen is bodhisattva. And the precepts you will have, you know, in lay ordination is called bodhisattva transmission of precepts. For several nights, I am concentrate. My talk is concentrated on this point of why you have you receive bodhisattva precepts when you have lay ordination. Now, recently, I did not put emphasis on Dogen Zenji's Dogen practice, which is Shikanta. But the Shikanta, we do not say even Shikanta. But we just say Zazen. In comparison to the Zazen, to attain enlightenment, we call it Shikantaza, because we have no gaining idea in our practice. And in our practice, practice and enlightenment is one. When you practice our Zazen, there is enlightenment. So we rather put the emphasis on, you know, practice rather than enlightenment. The front, you know, front gate is for us is practice. And, you know, on our precepts. Zen precepts is, you know, all Zen precepts is Bodhisattva, is called Bodhisattva precepts. And precepts you will receive in lay ordination. Precepts transmission you receive in lay ordination is in which it says there is no difference between Rinzai precepts and Sotta precepts. It is Bodhisattva precepts. This is a very important point. Not dualistic precepts. And the precepts always one with you. And always should be kept by you. Even though you do not try to keep it. It is there. So that is why I said last night, you should say yes, yes. You cannot say no. My lecture was, the point of my lecture was this point. Bodhisattva practice, Bodhisattva precepts. So on Akechimyaku it says, Busso Shoden Bosat Daikai. Bosat is Bodhisattva in Japanese. And after you receive it, you know, the most important thing is to continue it, you know, moment after moment. You should say yes, yes I will, moment after moment. And you should continue our practice, even though you experience enlightenment experience, you should continue it. That is golden rule for all Zen students, whether you are Rinzai student or Sotto student. I don't want to repeat the same thing over and over. I think you have understood. I think I have some more time. So if you have questions, please ask me. Yeah, many times, yes. Maybe so, you know. But, you know, as I said, right now, you know, if, you know, then it's way to attain enlightenment. If you take, you know, literally, you know, you will misunderstand our practice, bodhisattva practice. You know, bodhisattva practice, you know, bodhisattva way is a way which, you know, regardless you are Buddha or not, you know, you should continue forever, it's bodhisattva way. If you say, you know, Buddha way, so if you become Buddha, that will be the end. So to make the meaning of our practice clear, we say Zazen is not to attain enlightenment. Do you understand? You will be mistaken by saying you practice Zazen to attain enlightenment. So when we practice Zazen, we say beginner's mind is everything. You know, when you arise bodhisattva mind, there is already Buddha mind. And it is everything. So, you know, I don't know which is more appropriate word, bodhisattva way or Buddha way. I don't know. Maybe, you know, better to call it bodhisattva way rather than Buddha way. Buddha way is something like dead way. Not active, not alive. And looks like very, we are not Buddha. When we say Buddha, we are sentient beings. So there's big gap between Buddha and sentient being. But when we say bodhisattva includes all sentient beings. And bodhisattva way is especially for sentient beings. You understand? We, you know, to make our way clear, you know, I say our way is not to attain enlightenment, but we do not reject enlightenment experience. We welcome to attain enlightenment. But if we call, you know, if we say in that way, you know, I had a great experience, so my practice is over. I have done it. If you say so, you will actually lose your enlightenment. So, if you shouldn't say so, maybe you shouldn't say so. It is better not to say so. And it's better to continue bodhisattva practice. Save sentient beings to help, you can say, to help. You can start, you know, to save sentient beings, is not just to give something to others, you know. to almsgiving or to help people when they are in difficulty, you know, or materially or spiritually. But it is, make freeway or to work on factory is actually to help others. But it does not mean only to help others, just material or spiritual. It is the spirit is, the meaning is greater than that. But we, to begin with, we should try to help others in various ways, easy ways. And while you are doing, that is practice, while you are doing, you will find out how difficult it is, you know. Then you will, you know, improve the way to help others. Naturally, you should practice that. In that way. But it does not mean you should, you know, continue to eat, you know, as you eat here. It is a kind of practice, training maybe. No. Yes, yes. Non-discrimination is very important in our eating practice. We Japanese people do not like, you know, raw vegetables so much. Especially we don't eat beans, you know, without cooking. The smell is so strong. But in San Francisco Zen, as long as I am here, I have to eat, you know, raw beans and which has strong smell. Whole salad looks like to me, you know, green beans. If you cook it, it has not much strong smell, good flavor. But if you don't cook, all the salad will look like to me green beans. But, you know, we shouldn't discriminate. Non-discrimination is very important.
Roshi, why do we eat the banana and throw away the skin?
I don't know. Maybe very difficult to eat. I tried. But it was too difficult. And actually, I think if you eat it, you know, your tummy will stop, you know. you will have hard time in your restroom next morning. So that is too much. Hi. Yeah, you know, it is right. When you help them, you know, you don't have not much problem because you are. You are a man who is helping someone. But those who are helped, you know, there will be some problem there. If you receive something from someone, if you change your position, you will find out why. And if you are conscious about giving something, then it will be, it will create some problem unnecessarily. In this point, American people are very good, I think. If you give someone, that's all. I find many things, you know, outside of my room. I don't know who gave it to me. They just give it to me. So, you know, I appreciate their kindness in its true sense. But if I know who gave it to me, I have, of course, no bad feelings. So I don't mind so much whether I know who gave it to me or I don't know. It doesn't matter so much. But I think it is better, if it is possible, if you can do it, without a dualistic idea of giving or I'm giving something to others. Right practice, yeah. Effortless. No effort of, you know, no effort with gaining ideas. Effort to, you know, maybe to give up gaining ideas. Effort to continue it without, you know, dualistic idea, just to do it. That kind of effort is always important. はい。ボディサトワ、うん？In contrast to us in Sanskrit? I don't know Sanskrit. Bodhisattva is Sanskrit, I know, but I'm sorry. A concept of morality. Morality. Morality is, you know, it is more than morality. Morality is, if you see our precepts, it is exactly morality, which you should observe as a human being. But Bodhisattva way is more than that. That is why I have to explain it, you know, why I explained so far. If it is morality, you know, if you read the precepts, you know, don't kill, don't steal, or don't speak ill of others. If you read in that way, literally, that is morality. And actually, we are observing, most people are observing morality to some extent. That is morality. But Bodhisattva way is the way when, you know, Bodhisattva way includes morality, but more than that. If you, you know, observe it in dualistic sense, it is morality. If you understand Bodhisattva way deeper than that, it is maybe religious activity. So moral world, religious world, there are two or more. Maybe your question is arised because I said, you know, intuitively, you know, or without any idea of observing it. But it does not mean to ignore the moral codes. Okay. Suffering is, you know, in short, to expect, you know, something which you cannot expect is cause of suffering. In short, you know, we want to live longer, but, you know, we cannot live so long, maybe 100 years or mostly less than that. But we want to live more than that. There we have suffering. We want to meet someone who you love. But, you know, it is not possible. Always possible. Someday you have to be separated from someone who you love. And, you know, you will meet someone who you do not like so much. That is very true. No. You say you don't like him or like her, but she say you must ask her how she feels. And then it is very difficult. Even though you love her, she may say no. That is cause of suffering. So in short, you know. The things does not go, do not go as you expect. That is suffering. And so, how to get out of suffering is to have, you know, quiet mind. That you can eat green tea is how to get out of suffering. You know, if your mind is calm and very soft, you know, you can eat it, and actually it is very good. You know. So we say, jikini おいてどうなるものは法においてまたどうなる。You know, a man who does not discriminate food will not discriminate in our Dhamma too. You will not say, I cannot observe this precept. But this is very good precept. Very convenient one. To criticize someone. We use precepts to criticize someone. No. Don't speak ill of others. You see? What did you say? You shouldn't criticize me. Because precepts say, don't criticize anyone. That is not how we observe precepts.
Hi. Sometimes when I've heard definitions of suffering by Rahula and what the Buddha taught, and that doctor who spoke at Vincent a couple of years ago, that young guy who went to Ceylon. They define suffering in such a big way.
Mm.
You know, it was do you think of suffering as, is your understanding of suffering including everything, good and bad, happy and unhappy, all experience?
Yeah, suffering covers, teaching of suffering covers almost all Buddhism.
Burn.
Burn. Dr. Burn, yeah.
Could you
No, I cannot. My mind is not so explicit, you know, it is big, you know, topic to speak about. I know that much. But, you know, in one word, that is how we suffer. But that teaching covers almost whole teaching. You know. Dukkha, sutta, you know. In our life could be divided into renunciation from suffering and suffering. But it is actually one, you know. Because it is one, the teaching of suffering covers teaching of enlightenment. When at that time I have no idea of buying something, you know, it is a kind of my special practice, maybe, you know. That is my habit or feeling, you know. When I see good, you know, fresh papers and fresh apples and old, you know, rotten apples, I feel if I don't buy it, if I don't eat it right now, you know, it will be, no one will buy it, so he must throw it away. So if I buy it, you know, that apple will save, will help us. But if I don't, for that apple, there's no chance to serve its purpose. Immediately I feel in that way. So I cannot help buying bad ones first and leaving good ones for someone. You know, because many people will like it. Maybe if you work in the kitchen, you have that kind of feeling, you know. No, not always. No, not always. You know, especially food. You know, if it is some, if I buy a motor car, I want to buy a brand new, perfect one. But the more you have knowledge of something, you know, you will be like me when I buy something, some apples or something. Before you have not much knowledge about it, you will, you know, buy something good first. If you have good knowledge of, you know, car, even though it doesn't look like so good, but you know how to, because if you know how to mend it, you will buy it, you know, because maybe it is cheaper. and you know how to make good use of it. So if your mind is very kind and very clear, you will observe in that way without having superficial discrimination. Some question? Hi. Why I say so is, you know, because you say enlightenment, but mostly it is not a great enlightenment. It is, you know, many small enlightenments, not big one, which covers various every experience. Enlightenment, like Dogen Zenji described, is the enlightenment which covers everything, you know. You cannot, no one cannot get out of his enlightenment. It is so big, you know. I don't know koan practice so well, you know. But for us, koan originally means official statements or rules issue, you know, from the government. So, which is something which you observe, absolute rules. Or statements of enlightenment, you know, for them. So, how you find out the absolute truth in each story of Zen story is koan practice. But for us, you know, our everyday life is already big koan, you know. So, you know, we do not stick to some traditional special koans. Some question? Hi. True sense, Buddha mind, and there must not be any difference between Bodhisattva mind, Buddha mind. you know, should be same. But, you know, for a long time, you know, Buddhism was mistaken or misunderstood. And, you know, when, after a long time, they found out the true meaning of sutta. And they started to use bodhisattva, word bodhisattva, instead of Buddha. They put emphasis on bodhisattva stage rather than Buddha stage, which is perfect. Bodhisattva stage, which is not perfect. But in bodhisattva, in idea of Buddha is also fully included. Maybe more advanced Buddha in the meaning of words is maybe deeper. When old Buddhists call Buddha Buddha, help others, yeah, yourself, yeah, no, definitely not. Maybe, you know, as I said right now, you know, because you do not know yourself so much, you know, and you don't know what you are doing to others so much. But you know what others do to you, you know, very much. And actually, you are doing the same thing to others. If you realize that, you know, you will think.
Is it necessary to accept freedom as a form of suffering?
Freedom. Freedom, the idea of freedom, or experience of freedom. I think so. Freedom, you may say, freedom is also a cause of suffering because you have, you know, fear of losing freedom. So you should protect your freedom. Then, you know, freedom will cause some trouble for you. Right.
Versus non-being, isn't that
freedom. Yeah, freedom, maybe so. Something which is some idea which is dualistic, is anyway cause of problem. Because, it makes pair of opposites, So there's no words which mean something without any opposite idea. So if you stick one side, you will cause trouble. Stick to one side. So when you are in the position which include both sides, or understanding which you include, which you can include both sides, that is how to be free from suffering. Include is very vague, but it is at least it is practice is foundation of those practice. Without our practice, it doesn't work. It will, if it is actually, step rather like practice, it will create problem. And it should be one practice, And it should be a different experience of one practice. Then, various steps will work, will help. So if you open your eyes, and if you understand our practice and see those stages of attainment, it makes sense. Just a moment. I think I haven't time anymore. Do I have some more time? Mm-hmm.